I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. I'm always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, you often hear people say, maybe you've even heard me say this before, the Lord spoke to my heart. Does that ever happen to you? I mean, do you believe that God still speaks to His people today? Do you maybe wish you could hear Him more clearly? Well, my guest today writes this, "Let me make a bold statement. Learning how to hear God's voice is the solution to a thousand problems. It's also the key to discovering our destiny and fulfilling our potential. His voice is love. His voice is power. His voice is healing. His voice is wisdom. His voice is joy." One of our favorites joins us back on the show today. Best-selling author and Pastor Mark Batterson is my guest to talk about two of his books and whatever else the Lord puts on our heart. One of the books, Whisper, How to Hear the Voice of God. We've got three copies of that book. And the new children's book that he co-authored with his daughter, Summer, God Speaks in Whispers. We're giving three copies of each today. If you want to text the word book to 877-933-2484, it'll kick back a link. If you want to reference which of these books you want in that link, go ahead and do that. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Mark Batterson is a New York Times bestselling author of more than a dozen books, including The Circle Maker and Chase the Lion. He's lead pastor of National Community Church, one of the most innovative, influential churches in America. One church with seven campuses, NCC owns and operates Ebenezer's Coffee House, the Miracle Theater, and the DC Dream Center. It's just amazing. Mark holds a Doctor of Ministry degree from Regent University. He and his wife, Laura, have three children, and they live on Capitol Hill, and we love him. Pastor Mark, welcome back to the show.
Susie, it's so good to be back. I love this show, love you, and so grateful to be able to be on with you. You know I'm a native Minnesotan, so this is special for me.
Yeah, and it's always special when we get to have you on. And we every day talk scripture, and I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but you're a man of the word. But we love to start every day just talking scripture. And I'm wondering if there's a verse just out of your quiet time or a passage or a thought from scripture that you can share with us.
Oh, there's so many right now. I think about the 2 Chronicles 20, where Jehoshaphat says, "We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." And then follows it up, and it says the battle belongs to the Lord. I think this is a season where many of us don't know what to do, but our eyes are on God. If you would indulge me, I might share one other scripture that I really have had a sense that Hebrews 12:27, that we are in a season where everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so that the unshakable things remain. Susie, I just sense in my spirit that the Lord is shaking our false sense of security, our false sense of identity, our false narratives, our false idols, even our false ideologies. And the thing that's not unshaken is our confidence in Him. His kingdom's going to come. His will is going to be done. And I would just say to listeners, don't lose faith in the end of the story. God's got this, and God's got you.
Amen, amen. We've been talking about that passage a little bit on the show, and the idea that the things that can be shaken are being shaken, so that which cannot be shaken can be clearly seen. And that, you know, it's disrupting when you've been putting your hope in things that can be shaken. I mean, there is it's a temporary transition from the quaking ground beneath you to getting back on the rock again. But once you realize how sturdy the rock is and how tethered you are to a good God, your heart can be filled with peace right in the middle of the storm, can't it?
Yeah, it sure can. And I think, you know, Jesus said, "Peace be still," to the wind and the waves. He does the same thing in our lives. And so even in the midst of these storms, you know, we're obviously living through this COVID crisis. And boy, being a pastor right in D.C., I have to admit, there's a political polarization that I haven't seen in my time. that these are moments where we need the peace of God. And the good news is it transcends all understanding, Susie, and it guards our hearts and our minds. And so I pray the peace of God on every person listening.
Amen. Well, if you don't mind, Pastor Mark, you know, being right there in the heartbeat, in the core of the chaos, really, what's it been like for you as a pastor and as a son of God? You know, you belong to Jesus, and you've got a heavenly Father who loves you, but who's called you and planted you right there. While, you know, some of the worst firestorms are kind of swirling around you, what was the Lord speaking to you about?
Well, our primary citizenship is in this thing called the kingdom of God. And it's an eternal kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. Now, I would say that we have civic rights and responsibilities. I'm grateful for the freedoms that we have. I understand the tremendous racial tension that we're experiencing right now. My hope is anchored in the Word of God, in the Son of God, in the kingdom of God. And more than ever, I am really, listen, I'll just say it this way. I've never felt more daily dependence upon the Holy Spirit in my entire life. Every single day, Holy Spirit, fill me and lead me and help me. And so I guess what I'm saying is those who are listening, if you feel that unpredictability or that uncertainty, you are not alone. I think anybody that pretends to have it all figured out right now, I'm not sure that I'm buying what they're selling, but
I
do believe that heaven is invading earth and that his kingdom is unstoppable, Susie. I mean, you know, you have to look back. If you were placing bets on the Roman Empire or these 12 disciples, you know, I think you'd place your bets on the Roman Empire. That empire is long gone. And here we are with a couple billion people who claim to follow Jesus of Nazareth. And so take heart. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. He has overcome the world.
Wow, this is what a powerful word. I'm so grateful I asked. A few minutes before we go to break, but we got to talk, before we get into Whisper, How to Hear the Voice of God, we got to talk about the book. I can only imagine the smile on your face that you got to co-author a book with your daughter, a children's book titled God Speaks in Whispers. Talk about how that just was born in your hearts and came to pass.
Yeah, there is a big smile on my face because I have such wonderful memories as a dad reading bedtime story books to all three of my kids. But I have one daughter, Summer, and you know, those are holy moments. You're so tired sometimes as a parent at the end of the day that part of you wants to just, you know, do a quick tuck into bed and turn out the light. But those are moments where our kids are really a captive audience. And so I remember reading books to Summer when she was a little girl. And then to fast forward and for us to write one together, and I have to say, I had no idea that she had this Susian gift of rhyming, Susie, that the book is so fun to read and to listen to. And I have to give credit where credit is due. I think a lot of that is my daughter, Summer, who happens to be a social worker. And so I think it gives her kind of a unique angle on the sort of the mind and heart of younger children. And so, yeah, this one's pretty special.
Man. Well, we're going to head to break here, but as we're going out, I got to read a line from God Speaks and Whispers. If you need a new children's book, if you have a child, you do need a new children's book or grandchild. Listen to this. God is speaking, rain or shine. God is loving all the time. Above all else, know this is true, that God is singing around you. And what is he saying in that voice, still and small, that you, my dear, are his favorite of all? Who doesn't need to hear that today? Talking to author Pastor Mark Batterson. When we come back, we'll dig into his book, Whisper, How to Hear the Voice of God. I'm thrilled to tell you we've got three copies of each of these books. If you want a children's book or an adult book, although the children's book is an adult book too, but you just got to make sure you reference which one. Text the word book to 877-933-2484, and we will be back. in a moment. Lord, thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to our friend, author, pastor, Mark Batterson, celebrating the release of two books. One book is the release of his children's book that he co-authored with his daughter, Summer, God Speaks in Whispers. We're giving away a few copies of that book today. And then his book, it released a little bit ago, but we're digging back into it again, Whisper, How to Hear the Voice of God. Got three copies as well. But you say in the book, Whisper, that learning how to hear the voice of God is the solution to 1,000 problems. I gotta say amen. Say more if you would.
You know, prayer, Suzy, is really a two-sided coin. I think one side is us talking to God. And isn't it amazing that there's a God who hears us, who listens to us, who loves our unique voice print. So God loves it when we talk to him. But I think it's even more powerful when we learn to listen to God. And let's be honest, that's not easy in the day and age that we live in. I think in some ways, social media, you know, there are some redeeming dimensions of it, but boy, there's a lot of white noise and everybody wants to be heard. And I would just say that I would ask this question: who is the loudest voice in your life? And if it's not the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, then I would just say that some other things need to be turned down or tuned out so that you can really dial in and hear that still small voice of the Spirit.
Amen. I got to read this from your book. If your life is off key, maybe it's because you've been deafened by the negative self-talk that doesn't let God get a word in edgewise. Maybe you've listened to the voice of criticism for so long you can't believe anything else about yourself. Or maybe it's the enemy's voice of condemnation that speaks lies about who you really are. If you don't silence those competing voices, they'll eventually deafen you. You won't be able to sing God's song because you won't hear his voice. I'd love to know just from your own life, Pastor Mark, in those early years when whispers of potential dreams, things really that you're walking out even now, but before they were any kind of substance, how did you sort through, you know, the enemy reeling in your ear and the still small voice that said, trust me and take the next step?
Well, I think it starts with the Word of God. So in the book, I talk, of course, about seven languages that God speaks in, speaks in doors and dreams and desires, speaks through people and promptings and pain. That pain language we don't like so much, Suzy, but that is one way that God communicates with us. But Scripture is that first language. And so I think we've got to get into God's word so that we get God's word into us. And I don't think the Bible was just meant to be read. I think it was meant to be prayed through and meditated on. In fact, I love this. The Jewish rabbis said that every word of Scripture has 70 faces and 600,000 meanings. In other words, you're never going to get to the bottom of God's word. And the same Spirit that inspired those writers inspires us as readers. He quickens his word. And so when we open the Bible, God opens his mouth. And so I think that's where it starts. And, you know, this is not, as I like to say, it's not rocket surgery. What we've got to do is we've got to have a game plan. You know, when I ran a marathon, I had a training plan. In the same sense, I think a Bible reading plan is one of the best things we can do to help cultivate that daily spiritual discipline. And that's how we begin to hear that still small voice of the Spirit.
Amen. Well, tell me about how he spoke to you about some of these next steps, about starting a church, about writing a book. I mean, Ebenezer Coffee. I mean, I know a couple of those stories, but for friends who don't, how did he first speak to you? Where were you when he spoke to you, and what did it require of you?
Well, let me go all the way back to Alexandria, Minnesota. I was 19 years old. I was trying to find my way forward. I was a freshman at the University of Chicago, playing basketball, studying politics, economics, rhetoric, and law. And Susie, I thought I was following Jesus, but looking back on it, I had invited Jesus to follow me. And there's a big difference between those two things. And I had this moment in a cow pasture after a long prayer walk in Alexandria, Minnesota. And I just said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And it's hard to describe, but I heard what I would call the inaudible but unmistakable voice of God. So it's not between 20 and 20,000 hertz. It's not something that we can necessarily hear with the eardrum. But I just had this sense that God was calling me into ministry. And so I gave up my scholarship, transferred to a Bible college, and here we are about 25 years later. And I'm so grateful for that whisper in a cow pasture that changed the trajectory of my life. And so, everything begins with a whisper. In fact, you could even say that God whispered into the dust and created Adam and Eve. And so, really, everything is a byproduct of God's whisper.
Amen. Oswald Chambers references the idea of just checks in the spirit that so often we miss if we're moving too fast or the noise is too loud. Maybe say a word about how the Lord speaks to us by the power of His Spirit in us, where you get the little wince or you get the little nudge or the prompt. Speak a bit about that.
Yeah, I think that language of prompting often comes as just an idea. And if it is from God, I would call it a God idea. Sometimes, Susie, it's just someone will cross your mind or cross your path, and you just have this prompting to say something or to speak a word of encouragement. I think that's one of the languages of the Spirit. And then I would flip that coin and I would say that you can't just pray half of Revelation 3, this promise where it says that God can open and close doors. What he opens, no one can shut. What he shuts, no one can open. I've found in my experience that, yes, I love it when God opens a door. That's so exciting. And you need the faith to step through it. But sometimes God will close a door and it will be incredibly frustrating. Lord, why would you allow that to happen? But often, Susie, I've looked back on those moments and it's almost like the prevenient grace of God that he's kept me out of a situation that I could have gotten into. And there are moments where I've just felt this check in my spirit. And I like to say that, I always give the Holy Spirit the veto, that if he wants to give me a red light, then I need to respect that. And those aren't easy things to discern, but that really is the reason why I wrote that book, Whisper, to kind of help people navigate how to discern the will of God, how to hear the voice of God. Because it is so critical that we learn to do that. And I would say this, who is the loudest voice in your life? It's got to be the still small voice of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, so good. I remember as a young mom battling Lyme disease and just it crawling, army crawling through my life with three little boys and a sickness that was just so relentless and crying out to God for healing, going, I've got to raise these boys, Lord, And I remember that it was such a clear statement that did not come from me because I'm not smart enough to come up with it. But I remember the Lord whispering to my heart, Susie, I could heal you today, but you'd lose it tomorrow. And I'm like, what? And he said, you don't have the infrastructure for healing. You think like a sick person. And that's just true with Lyme disease. The symptoms are so all over the map. They're up, down, right, left, everywhere. And I would be turning every which way and being just constantly taunted by these wretched symptoms. And I spent the next 20 years renewing my mind. And I thought that is just absolutely true. And there's some of us, you know, we ask for a blessing, but we really don't have the infrastructure to carry it because we have such repeated defeating thoughts, you know. And maybe speak to that, because I feel like he can do in a minute what he wants anytime. But I think oftentimes, at least people like me are invited into a process because we need the process.
I'm so fascinated by two things, the army crawling description, Susie, that I just really sense that there are some people that resonated so strongly with them. And so, Lord, right now, we just agree in prayer and ask God that your Holy Spirit would help them, that God, you're going to put them back on their feet, that they're going to make it, that you will never leave them nor forsake them. And so, Lord, those who are lonely, who are experiencing anxiety or depression right now, I pray that they would sense and know the nearness of your Holy Spirit, that you are interceding for them. And so we lift them up to you in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Thanks for letting me pray that. I mean, this idea of an infrastructure for healing, I've never heard anybody describe it that way, but I feel like you just brought clarity to something that, Susie, my earliest memory is an asthma attack. And you know this. Ironically, I would have been rushed to North Memorial Hospital right there in Minneapolis for a shot of epinephrine. I had severe asthma for more than 40 years of my life. And then on July 2nd, 2016, I feel this prompting to pray a brave prayer. Now, listen, there weren't 40 days that I didn't take my inhaler over 40 years. I spent months in the hospital because of it. And there was a moment where I felt like I needed to pray a brave prayer. I'd prayed it hundreds of times, but I felt like I needed to pray it again, that God would heal my asthma. And this is past my pay grade. I don't understand it completely. But Susie, God healed me on July 2nd, 2016. I have not touched an inhaler from that day to this day. I went out and ran the Chicago Marathon to do something I couldn't have done to celebrate God's healing in my life. And when you said that about infrastructure, I really think that probably was a piece of the puzzle. Maybe I wasn't ready for the healing. And, you know, God does his miracles on his timeline and on his terms. And so just to those who are maybe still holding out for a miracle that maybe has been 40 years in the making, don't give up on God. Continue to press in, continue to pray through. And I just believe with you that somehow, some way, and I know sometimes God's healing happens on the other side of the space-time continuum in a dimension that the Bible calls heaven. That's going to be perfect healing. But I also know that God is capable, and that sometimes heaven invades earth. And I'm just believing that right now there are going to be some testimonies that come from this conversation as faith is activated and God does a miracle in some people's lives.
Can I get an amen from somebody? Somebody's got to text me an amen. Amen and amen. Lord, we do believe you for healing. We thank you that by your stripes we are healed. And Lord, you can, you will. We pray that you will in these situations. We're going to go to break here, talking to author Pastor Mark Batterson, drawing from his book, Whisper, How to Hear the Voice of God. When we come back, we'll talk more about ways that God speaks to his people. He knows how to speak to us in a way that we understand. We'll be back in a moment. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to author Pastor Mark Batterson, drawing from his book, Whisper, How to Hear the Voice of God, also celebrating the release of a children's book that he co-authored with his daughter, Summer, God Speaks in Whispers. We've got a few copies of each book to give away today. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. You'll get a link kicked back to you, and just reference which book you're interested in. And I want to revisit this idea. You had severe asthma. Two of my three sons had asthma. You had it severely so. And part of your story of healing is a minister, I believe, came to your house. I think you were a freshman in college or high school. I don't remember. But anyway, somebody came to pray for your healing when you were young. And the next day you woke up still with asthma, but all the warts on your feet were gone. and you said in the book, somewhere out there, somebody was breathing really clearly, but still had their warts. But say a word about what that was about, you think.
That would be the moment, Susie, that I would say that I felt like for the first time in my life, I heard this still small voice say, Mark, I just wanted you to know that I'm able. And I would add to that and say he's not just able, he's able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. So in my heart, Susie, from 13 years old, I always had this faith that God was able. He healed my warts on my feet just as a way of saying, maybe that day will come. And so I held on to it. That was really a seed of faith. I want to be honest, there were moments where, because I prayed it hundreds of times that God would heal me and it didn't happen. So I don't have it figured out. In fact, I have a Deuteronomy 29:29 file. It says that the revealed things belong to us. The secret things belong to God. There are some things that just aren't going to, we can't figure out on this side of eternity because we're human. But that's not going to keep me from continuing to pray and believe God for miracles. Amen. And just to piggyback on what you said about infrastructure for that healing, I would say if you want God to do the super, you have to do the natural. And so maybe there are some things that you need to be doing to prepare yourself for that miracle to happen.
Amen. Well, I'm thinking of that passage, Deuteronomy 29:29. If I remember it right, the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed to us belong to us and to our children forever. I feel like your book, your children's book, God Speaks and Whispers, is exactly the fruit of that. Things God revealed to you about a God who speaks to his children that you're handing down to future children that you wrote with one of your children. I mean, don't you feel like that? Your book is really an example of that promise. The things he reveals to us belong to us and to our children forever. I just think that's powerful.
Yeah, I think it's true. And everything God does for us, it's not just for us. It's always for the third and fourth generation. As you were talking, my spirit was so stirred because there are parents listening. And I'll say this up front. You'll never be a perfect parent, but you can be a praying parent. And prayer turns parents into prophets. And I believe that there are a lot of 3 and 4 and 5 year old kids out there who are just like the prophet Samuel. God wants to speak to them. And I believe that this is a book that's going to nurture some of those spiritual conversations, Susie. You know, I'm like any parent. I love those fun books like Goodnight Moon or A Moose in a Muffin. Those are fun. They're fun to read. By the way, God Speaks and Whispers, fun to read too, and some beautiful illustrations. But I think even more than that, I just happen to believe that God can speak to kids and that kids at an early age can learn to discern the voice of God. And that's so exciting to me to think about some of those bedtime moments really turning into sacred moments.
Beautiful. So good. You know, one of the ways that God speaks to us, as you say, is the voice of gladness through our desires. And one thing I've been trying to just impart to our listeners these days is to dare to dream again. I mean, just as God spoke in Jeremiah 29:11, you know, I know the plans I have for you. He was speaking this to a people in captivity, have babies, plant gardens. And I feel like the enemy would love for us to hunker down, cower, cover our heads, and just say, this is the end of the world as we know it. But as believers, we should be innovative. We should be creative. We should be coming up with some solutions. And I think part of that may have something to do with how he's wired us, how he's trained us thus far. So speak to that whole idea in the context of where we are right now.
Ah, that's so good. And we're 10 weeks into a series on Daniel. So that speaks to me because Jeremiah 29 is really a theology of the city, that idea of planting gardens, building houses. And then it says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city. And so, Susie, the way that we say it is, we're not just trying to build a church. We're trying to bless a city. So
love that.
you know, March 14, we can't gather on the weekend as a church. We still aren't gathering. The church is not a building. You can shut down a country, but you cannot shut down the kingdom of God. Our Dream Center has served more than 50,000 meals, 50,000 meals that we've served through our Dream Center. We turned Ebenezer's Coffee House into a living room for our friends experiencing homelessness. We've experienced more people crossing the line of faith. This weekend, I think on our online campus at two of our services, we had 70 people come to the altar for prayer. Now, it's an online altar, but Susie, every morning we have hundreds of people climbing what we call into the upper Zoom. It's kind of a play on the upper room. We have hundreds of people praying every day. Listen, I think revival is on the way. I think God is raising up a remnant. I think God is activating the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so for such a time as this, for such a place as this, God has us.
Oh, man. Amen. Speak to that person who's been, I just was so moved by you just pausing and praying for the person who's army crawling through the valley, who feels physically, physiologically, like stuck in that valley. And as you spoke and prayed for them, that was just so powerful. I would love for you to speak to that person who also has dreams and desires they don't even dare mention because it just feels so all over right now. You know, just feels so uncertain that we don't even dare have faith and hope. What would you say to that person?
Yeah, I would say a couple of things, Susie. One third of Americans, according to the most recent numbers put out by the CDC, one third of Americans are struggling with anxiety or depression. 71% are angry. 66% are fearful. Now, part of me doesn't even want to share that because I you know, that's so overwhelming to hear that. But I want people to know, first of all, Susie, that they're not alone. Secondly, I would say this. The curtain is being pulled back. And I think what we're experiencing is some spiritual warfare on a level that even people who don't follow Christ, you can see it. You can see that we were born on a battlefield between good and evil. Mm-hmm. And we do not fight that battle with carnal weapons, but we have the ability to demolish spiritual strongholds because of our authority and our identity in Christ. And so I would remind us that there is a very real enemy. He is the accuser of the brethren. He is the father of lies. And we've got to understand that he is lying and accusing, but we need to call it for what it is. And we need to realize that if God is for us, who can be against us? He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And the good news is the Holy Spirit is interceding for us. Jesus is interceding for us. So right now, you have two-thirds of the Godhead interceding to the Father on your behalf. And so listen, we know how this ends. We know the end of the story. And we know the fact that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and Christ. And so be encouraged. Don't lose faith. Don't lose heart. All of us have those days that we get discouraged, myself included. But what the enemy wants you to do is use all of your energy on the mistakes you've made instead of the dreams that God has given you of a better tomorrow, the dreams that God has given you to make a difference. You know, Susie, show me the size of your dreams. I'll show you the size of your God. And God gives us dreams, I think, to keep us on our knees in a posture of dependence upon him. And so I would say, keep dreaming, keep dreaming. Acts 2:17, young men will dream dreams. Old men will have visions. Sons and daughters will prophesy. That is what God is doing right here, right now.
Come on, somebody. Amen and amen. You know, I really do marvel when I think about just, I'm just chronicling your journey through some of these books, how God would put a vision in your heart. I mean, when you were marching around Capitol Hill, not even knowing you were prayer walking kind of a perimeter of land that God really wanted to give you and entrust to you. I just marvel at what he's done. It's so precious and powerful. So at this stage of your journey, Are you able to share any new vision, new dreams of things that God's put on your heart that maybe feel as audacious?
Susie, we are dreaming bigger, praying harder, and thinking longer than we ever have. Right now, in August of 96, I felt prompted to pray a perimeter around Capitol Hill, ended up being a 4.7-mile prayer circle. And one corner of that is a city block. It was the old Navy Yard car barn. And we bought it for the price of $29 million, which I didn't have a category for. And listen, didn't have a category for a city block, but God's vision for us is bigger than ours. Do you know that we bought that 18 years to the day from the day of that prayer circle? That is not coincidence. That is providence. And so right now, construction continues on our phase two. We moved into it last year, into our new sanctuary, our new campus. But Susie, we're building out a child development center for 212 kids. It'll be one of the biggest child development centers in the city of Washington, D.C. And it's one of the greatest needs that our city has. And I believe God has positioned us to reach the next generation through the D.C. Dream Center, but also through this child development center. And so, and then we've got a phase three with a potential marketplace and co-working space. Why? Because Jesus didn't just hang out in the synagogue. He hung out at wells. Wells were natural gathering places in ancient culture. And so we are creating a marketplace where church and community can cross paths. And it's a little overwhelming, Susie. But what I've learned is this: the more you pray, the bigger you dream. And the bigger you dream, the more you have to pray. And so I think God has us right where he wants us.
Oh, my goodness. It inspires me so much. I just appreciate it. Well, one of the ways that God speaks to us is the doors, the door of Bithynia, you called that. And in that chapter, you said, discernment is the ability to appraise a situation with supernatural insight. It's prophetic perception that sees past problems and envisions possibilities. Simply put, it's picking up what God is throwing down. And I love that. So seeing past the problem of a need for child development and envisioning the possibilities. You got to unpack that even a bit more.
Well, we're called to be the solution. We are, our pastor of prayer, Heidi Scanlon, loves to say we are solutionaries. In fact, I love in Daniel 2, it's Daniel who brings the solutions to the table. And so, you know, the way that I'm wired is that, well, Michelangelo said, criticized by creating. Paul didn't stand outside the Areopagus and complain about what was wrong or even you know, accuse them of idolatry. He went in and he competed for the truth. And so, Susie, I just believe that as people who follow Christ and who are filled with his spirit, we are called to write better books, produce better films, draft better legislation, start better schools, start better businesses. How? With the help of the Holy Spirit. And so whatever it is that God has called us to do, I don't say this pridefully because, listen, without the Holy Spirit, I'm below average. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, we have this anointing. And the anointing is for everything that we do, and it's the difference between the best we can do and the best God can do. And so just asking and praying that God would anoint each and every person who is listening to our conversation and anoint them to do exactly what he's called them to do.
I love that. You know, dreaming bigger than you ever have, praying harder than you ever have, thinking longer than you ever have. To me, again, that's so different than our fear, our instinctive fear reaction, and there's no condemnation in this, but when you look at what you've seen and you hear the news, the instinctive reaction is fight, flight, you know, buckle down and hunker down. But the idea of God's people, if we could rise up, if we could pray harder than we've ever prayed before, dream bigger and think longer, what might happen? I just think it's a powerful, powerful proposition. But the fact is, when we do this, when we step up and we say, in the Lord, we respond, as Jesus has said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And you respond, you'll face opposition. Wasn't it Paul who said a door of opportunity has opened, but there are many adversaries? Talk about how you've learned to navigate some of the predictable ways the enemy comes against you when you're stepping out.
Yeah, well, you know, Scripture says, do not be unaware of the enemy's schemes. And so the good news is we have a lot of game film. Yeah, it's called the Bible. And so we know the way that the enemy works. And there will be opposition. There's going to be persecution there. But that's where I'm praying that the church would rise up and that we would be a supernatural demonstration of his love and power. And I think a lot of it, Susie, is operating in the opposite spirit of what we're encountering. And what I mean by that is this, where there is pride, operate in a spirit of humility, where everybody is yelling at each other. Why don't we try the Proverbs? A gentle answer turns away wrath. I mean, this is what Jesus taught. Pray for those who persecute you. Turn the other cheek. Love your enemies. That really is where we have tremendous opportunity as Christ followers to that's our apologetic for the good news of the gospel. And it's not easy, but I think that that's precisely what God has called us to.
I love that. I mean, love really is the highest form of spiritual warfare. So to be, like you say, discerning what's coming against you and how it's coming against you and respond in the opposite spirit. I mean, the enemy's plan will backfire. We're going to pause here for our final break, talking to author Pastor Mark Batterson, New York Times bestselling author. His book, Whisper, How to Hear the Voice of God. It's a brilliant book. Plus, we've got a new book that he co-authored with his daughter, Summer. It's a children's book, God Speaks in Whispers. It's kind of a spinoff of this for children, teaching children at a young age God speaks and teaching them how to listen. I love that. We've got three copies of both books, so you just text the word book, just the word book, to 877-933-2484. We'll get you entered into that drawing, and we will be back in a moment.
Make way to the waters. Walk me through the fire. Do what you are famous for. What you are famous for. Shut the
Yes, Lord, we need a move of God. Do what only you can do in this day. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to author Pastor Mark Batterson, having a powerful conversation just about the majesty of God, the bigness of God, and his invitation that we partner with him in ways that change the world and change who we are. We're celebrating his book, Whisper, How to Hear the Voice of God, and the book he co-authored with his dear daughter, Summer. It's a children's book, God Speaks in Whispers, and we're giving away three copies of each. If you want in on the drawing, just text the word book to 877-933-2484. And one of the ways, Pastor Mark, that you say that God speaks to us is through hidden figures, through people. Talk about how people are one of God's love languages.
Yeah, it's, you know, Susie, I think there are people who I would say are prophets in my life, and they would never call themselves prophets. But there are people who just said the right thing at the right time, spoke a word of encouragement, or even sometimes spoke the truth in love. And God, in his providence, decided that, you know what, I'm going to work through people, and they're going to be my hands and my feet, and I might add my voice box. And so I am really believing that one thing that God is doing right now is decentralizing his church. When churches can't gather on the weekend, and I know some churches are gathering again, and it really varies by state, but I think God is reminding us that we are the priesthood of believers, that we are the company of prophets. And, you know, I am a pastor, but I believe that everybody that I pastor is a pastor. And it just so happens that their workplace is their congregation and their portfolio is their pulpit. And so I think we've got to realize that One, God wants to speak to us through other people. And sometimes, let me make it practical. Sometimes I think it's listening prayer for someone else. You pray for them and say, Lord, is there anything that you want me to speak into their life? And just a reminder, 1 Corinthians 14:3, that it's going to be for comforting, encouraging, and strengthening. And so I think sometimes we hear the word prophet, we get scared, or we think about someone who tells the future. No, it's someone who, with the help of the Holy Spirit, someone like you, who just speaks words of comfort and encouragement and strengthening. And it was Moses who said, I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets. And in Judaism, it was not considered a unique gifting for a select set of people. It was actually the end goal of spiritual growth, that as you grow spiritually, you become more and more prophetic. And that's true no matter who we are or what we do.
Well, you know, you have to be quiet enough to hear the whisper of God to have a prophetic word from God for somebody, you know? I mean, we're rushing around in the chaos and in the noise and reacting to the culture rather than responding to the voice of the Spirit. You know, it's like the still waters run deep. You have no depth to draw from if you're not slowing down long enough to hear from Him. But what a powerful thing. You know, when you encounter people who spend a lot of time in the presence of God, because there's something about the words that come out of their mouth. And as you say, oh, that all of God's people could be prophets, that we would each spend enough time in His presence that the people in our sphere of influence, we could offer that word in due season. I mean, just that, what a powerful gift that would be in today's day, don't you think?
Yeah, it really would be. And so my hope and prayer for those who are listening would be, can you find a whispering spot? And I talk a little bit about that in the book. Maybe I'll leave that hanging out there, Susie, because there's a fun story about the United States Capitol that I share about a whispering spot. But I think it's a place that you go where you're able to hear God. Last week, I did a silent retreat where I spent 24 hours and did a little bit of ear cleansing. I think you can do this in a number of different ways. It might be a prayer closet, but somehow, some way, God speaks loudest when we're quietest. And so we've got to, be still and know that I'm God. And when we do that, I think we begin to hear that still small voice of the Holy Spirit.
Boy, it's so good. Another one of God's love languages is the Archer's Paradox, which you call prompting. Say more about that one.
Well, I think this is where you're reading the Word of God. And, I think it's 11 times in Psalm 119 that this word quicken is used. It's one of the roles of the Holy Spirit that as we read God's word, it's almost like the Holy Spirit stops us and prompts or quickens something in our spirit. Sometimes it's a thought, sometimes it's a name, sometimes it's a picture. And I don't want that to sound super spiritual, but listen, the Holy Spirit dwells where these billions of synapses in the human mind meet. And I believe that the Spirit of God can prompt ideas and thoughts and actions. The big question is, are we going to be obedient to that? Sometimes it's placing a phone call to someone. Sometimes it's maybe even applying for a program that you've been dreaming about. It's about just us taking little steps of faith. And by the way, faith is taking the first step before God reveals the second step. And so I think the key is to be obedient to those promptings. And when we take those little steps of faith, sometimes those small steps can turn into some giant leaps.
Well, Pastor Mark, it's always a joy to talk with you, and I've gleaned so much. I want to go back and listen and take some notes again. You're a busy guy, and I just thank you that you gave time to invest and even pray for our listeners. We just honor and bless you, my dear brother. Thanks for the time today.
Joy and privilege is mine. Thanks, Susie. Mm-hmm.
Pastor Mark Batterson, and we've got two books we're giving away today, Whisper, How to Hear the Voice of God, and the children's book, God Speaks in Whisper. We'll leave that drawing open for a little bit, so if you want to text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Hope you found some encouragement here today. We are praying for you, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.